Sarah, this is Samuel L. Jackson. Now, you may know me from my roles in movies like Pulp Fiction, Star Wars, and The Incredibles. But I'm here today to make sure you go see a movie that holds a special place in my heart. That's right. I'm talking about Snakes on a Plane. I know that sounds crazy, but I don't give a damn because Snakes on a Plane just might be the best motion picture ever made. It's that good. So listen up. Forget about your regular job, working in the media, and stop wasting all your free time drinking bottle after bottle. And for God's sake, quit dyeing your hair all those colors. Just hop on that greasy bike, go get your friend, and go see Snakes on a Plane. The one summer blockbuster that will take a big nasty bite out of your butt. It's simple. Do as I say and you live. You don't want to mess with me on this one because I will come after you. You hear me?
Talking about. That's how you begin a radio program right there. It's a 1 minute and 18 seconds after the hour of 12 in this, the month of August, in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. My friends, this is the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. We are here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It's 503-733-2970 if you'd like to be part of today's experience. 503-733-2970. You want to email us? By God, you can do it. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Let me be very clear about this as we begin the program. Snakes on a Plane is not the best of anything. Oh, it's fantastic, though. It was so bad. It was so.
I would say that it's the best movie to be half in the bag and watch.
Really, I gotta tell you this. I don't think I have ever had. I won't say I've never had, but I gotta tell you this. That is one of the best movie going experiences that I have ever had in my life. I've been here for 33 years. I mean, even just now, I can feel that I actually am still sore from last night. And that's a phrase that you don't hear used in a positive sense very often in this world. But my voice was so gone by the end of last night from the shouting and the hooting and the hollering and the laughing and the whatnot and the hey and the Mohegan. Oh, my God. It's just retarded. It was so great. We'll talk about Snakes on a Plane.
Oh,
because,
man.
No, because it's the last day we can do it, because by Monday, no one will care. By Monday, everybody...
No, because on Monday, they'll talk about how big the box office was
that's
and how
true.
Much everyone hated it.
No, that's true. No, by Monday will be the last day we talk about Snakes on a Plane until it comes out on DVD. If they're smart, by the way, they're going to be putting that out on 3D. They ought to be having a 3D version, like five discs. And let me just tell you this right now. Kevin Smith has got that great thing he's doing where he has, which is a genius idea, where you can see Clerks 2, and then you go to his website, download a podcasted commentary, put it on your, you put on your headphones, go to the theater, and you can listen to a commentary track while it's still in the theater. And if you know anything about movies, you know that Kevin Smith commentaries are worth their weight in gold. Hands down, the best commentaries in the world, as Brian Jennings would say. But I really wish, the one big regret I have about last night is that we did not tape the audience reaction. If I'd been thinking straight, and I wasn't, because I was all giddy with Snakes on a Plane drunkenness, I was intoxicated with the desire to see Sam Jackson on a plane that was, in fact, full of snakes. We should have taped just the sound in the theater last night, just so you could hear the ongoing servo-esque commentary from Fat Boy from KUFO and Aaron Geek in the City. And those guys, man... We're going to talk to Aaron. Aaron's going to be here later today. Really, if Fat Boy's out there, I should have asked him to come in. I encourage him to give us a call, Fat Boy, if you are.
Between the two of them heckling, that was hysterical.
The freaky thing is when you see them next to each other because they're like the same guy. You know what I mean? Same height, same build, same general features. I mean, it's all and then with the same unmatched knowledge of like of every movie that has come out within the last 35 years that features something made out of foam rubber or with a zipper going up the back. Those guys are all over it.
And it's not even Japanese.
No. And they both have got basically the same wardrobe. You know what I mean? It's sort of like a Spencer Gifts exploded all over one of them. So it was genius, man. It was gold. We will talk more about it. It's 503-733-2970 as we conclude National Snakes on an MF in Plane Week. And then it rolls through the weekend, and then Monday we'll talk about it, and then by Tuesday we'll have moved on.
I have to say, that's the worst ending of a movie I've ever
seen. It's the worst everything I've ever seen. I mean, let's be very clear about this right now. I don't want to have any... Let there be no illusions,
but,
Michael.
What was the best is that half of the actors even looked amused half of the time because they knew how ridiculously bad it was.
The actors looked amused or sort of puzzled as to what they were supposed to be doing. A lot of times it was a guy just standing there because you can tell that there was somebody offset going, no, we'll fill it in later. Now you're running, you're scared and turn, fall down. And then it was a lot of, we'll put in the bed a cartoon snake later. Now don't move.
This is only one take. One take.
You know that about half the stuff that was in last night's film, they had to shoot in 4 days. They had 4 days to shoot about half of that movie.
My favorite part was the quest for the anti-venom.
Oh, God. Which is like, there were large sections of snakes on a plane, and don't get me wrong, it was the best night of my life.
There were snakes everywhere.
There were large sections of that movie, though, that it's like they seemingly wandered in from another film. You know, have you ever had that experience?
Was there a woman with Vaseline dropping her trousers? Oh, that was another story.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend and official stenographer of the Rick Emerson radio program.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris joining us now. How are you, sir?
I'm bummed now. It sounds like you guys had a great time.
Oh, it's terrible. It was so bad, but it was the best night of my life. My face hurt from laughing at the end of the night. My throat was sore. I had no voice. I mean, you get that feeling. You ever get that where your muscles, like your stomach muscles actually are just sore from just belly laughing the entire night? It was like when you were a kid and you saw, you saw like a airplane for the first time. I mean, it was unreal. And then you had the thing, parents on the plane, you had your in-laws or your parents or somebody coming into town?
Yeah. No snakes, no Vaseline, no urinating on the plane. Just a normal,
that's an
just a
odd,
normal flight.
Let's not use that combination of words again. I got to tell you this right now, and Fatboy, he really hit the nail with his head this morning. That if you can't see it with a big bunch of drunken friends, don't see it. That's the thing. And I'm telling you, if it comes down to you seeing it tonight by yourself or waiting a few days and seeing it with your friends, you wait. You got to see it with your friends, preferably loaded.
And especially friends who aren't hesitant to scream things in the middle of the movie theater.
That's the other thing, too. And you know that I'm the guy who hates noise in the theater. I hate anybody who talks. You rustle a paper next to me in the theater, and I want to cut out your intestines. Anybody who makes any kind of noise in a theater ought to be taken out and beaten to death in the street with hammers. This movie, however, is a known exception to that. And the great thing is you could just tell. From the very beginning, this will sum up the entire experience last night, or try to. As the movie itself started last night, you wade through all the previews, that snakes on a plane, which I never get tired of saying even now, the New Line logo comes up, New Line Cinema, and it goes to black, and then there's the, you know, blah, 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 Imperial Pictures presents, and then there's that moment they make you wait before they put the title of the movie on the screen, and here's what happens in the back, because Fatboy was sitting a couple rows behind me, and so it was like a Rick Aaron Fatboy sandwich, and so just as they're getting ready to put the Snakes on a Plane logo on the screen, here's what I hear from the back of the theater. My whole life has been leading up to this moment! You know, and that was it right there. Everybody cheered at that. And it was something that we all knew to be true. Every step we've taken in our lives brought us closer to last night. So, it was so bad. It was genius, though.
And now life ceases to be worth living.
Really? What are you going to do now?
Wait for Snakes on a Plane 2?
Snakes on a thing? Snakes. Snakes. They ought to do like a Weekend at Bernie's meet snakes on a plane kind of a thing. I'd be for that. All right. Well, here's what we're going to get to today. Now, I'm going to hand part of this off to Tim, not because I'm wishing to slough responsibility, but because I failed to find out beforehand. What watches have we today, Tim?
What watches have we today? We're going to talk about Paul McCartney. We're going to talk about Britney and something especially for children.
We have something for the children today. Now, I don't believe we have any music for that, sadly. Scotty, unless you have... Scotty, do you have a lullaby?
Scotty, find New Kids on the Blocks. This one's for the children.
Yes, I'm sure he has that.
Yes, or something soothing. So...
He has a little jukebox in a box.
He has to have some New Kids on the Blocks.
Paul McCartney's soon-to-be one-legged... Soon-to-be ex-wife watch. We have that. We have a Britney watch for the children. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, and Scott Daly will be calling us. We have Aaron Geek in the city. Duran is going to be in the studio, probably still drunk, and I believe cutting out on work today.
I had to cut him off last night.
Dude, he had a flask out front, and it was gone before the theater even started.
And then I'm not saying that I saw him drinking a tall boy of PBR in the theater.
I totally did.
I gave it to him. He was so amusing.
Oh, you can't give... Don't give the geek any beer.
Well, these are the final days before his wedded bliss.
Yes, he's trying to live while he's alive. No, before the movie even started, he drained that flask. And that was full of vodka.
Even before I got there, I was getting text messages from him and Scott going, bring PBR.
No, I was... I got the text messages from him going, we're here with a bunch of drunk chicks. Woo, snakes. And then, like, that was it. It was so great. Let's see. And, there you go. That's it.
Sorry you missed out, Chris.
Yeah, I did. I'll have to.
Your life was never going to be the same now.
I'll have to round up a bunch of drunk mailmen and we'll all go see it.
That'll be hard. all right. So there you go. That's it. We're not teasing a whole lot of stuff today, but that's because it's all snakes on a plane. Dave, you got the list.
I got a McCartney watch, a Britney watch, something for the children. Lisa Goddard, Ed McCarthy, Scott Daly, and Aaron Geek in the city.
There you go, sir. And we will talk to you at the conclusion of today's program. Find out what we got to, what we did not get to.
Will do.
All right. Thank you, sir.
And we're at 45.
Oh, excellent. Good times. All right, that's going to be 42 at the end of the day. All right, there you go. Thank you, that's Chris. All right. I have many blog comments, many MySpace comments about snakes on a plane, so we'll get to some of those. 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and striped Sarah X. Dillon.
Hello.
Hello. There's that voice starting to go south again.
Oh, boy.
It's always that bell curve where you lose your voice at the end of the party or the gathering and the snakes on a plane screening.
Yeah,
and
I just had to get out of there. After that ending, I just bolted.
Yeah, and it was so bad. It really was like a Weekend at Bernie's kind of a thing where suddenly they're in Jamaica. Surfing.
That was exactly what
I'm sorry. Am I ruining the end of the movie?
Cannot believe you just gave that
the
up.
End, the robot did it. The snake did it.
Oh, please. At the end, they're on a surfboard. There you go. I've given it all away. The final sequence is Sam Jackson surfing. It makes no goddamn sense at all.
Snakes on a surf.
I'm ruining nothing. And really, if you're going to complain about that, you've got larger problems. All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories today.
Well, the fellow who confessed to killing JonBenet Ramsey had two child brides. A judge convicted of using a self-pleasuring device while on the bench will get 4 years without it. A vomiting Florida man nearly closes a hospital evacuation.
This is the best set of news stories ever.
A Wisconsin man is trapped in a vat of chocolate.
All right. And we got the wood chipper guy finally, right?
We did that yesterday.
I know, but there was some other hideous story. Oh, it's for the children. Oh, and I have... I have something about a man drowning in Elmer's glue, I think.
Oh.
I think that's somewhere. That's a bad way to go. All right, all of that. Hold on a second. There you go. A cough button. What else? There's people. Wants to comment on Snakes movie.
Yeah.
I got my truck back. This is normally the place,
is
right?
Is it in good condition?
It wasn't in good condition before.
Oh.
I should talk about it, but I don't know. It's not really in me. It's a whole long...
It's a common occurrence.
It was just a big, long pain in the ass. I do want to take this opportunity to mention Josh. And Josh is a man who works at Costco Gasoline. This is not a plug. It's not for consideration. But I do want to mention Josh. Josh works at Costco Gasoline. And Costco Gasoline out in Tannisbourne Way.
That's in my neighborhood. I know where that is.
Yes, I'm sure it is. And I like how the people at Costco get their own fancy schmancy little gas station that only Costco members can use. If you're not a Costco member, you're not allowed to get any gas there. Because I'm just going to say this. So you know that my my truck was stolen again.
And recovered.
Yes. For the second time. And so yesterday the cops call me and they found a dumpster. And apparently the guys who... I don't even know where I was going with it. You know, the asses. They were men who were more like... They were bastards. I don't know what I'm saying. They stole it, though, and they drove it until it ran out of gas, and then they dumped it. They didn't even go anywhere interesting. They went to Tannisbourne. They took my truck. They drove it until the gas ran out, and then they just left it. A couple days later, cops find it. They put it in the impound. I got to pick it up yesterday. And, oh, this is the best moment, by the way. Now, I'll just show you this. Now, I've carried a wallet most of my life. But guys especially have found in recent years that they make jeans that are sort of pre-distressed, where the jeans are sort of pre-faded or whatever. And that means that the fabric is a little worn already. And you sit in that wallet for 3 or 4 months, and it just tears a hole right through the back of your pocket. That wallet just wears out the back. And plus, then your spine is all crooked at the end of your life and so forth. So I got rid of my, and I've been experimenting with several front wallet designs. They make these wallets that are meant to go in your front pocket. They're very thin. But the problem is I have way too many credit cards because Laura wants me to build up my credit because I'm a loser. And so she's laden me down with credit cards to carry around.
It's good. She's given you that opportunity to redeem yourself.
It's true. Good credit, bad credit, no credit. And so... Anyway, but I had like 18 different credit cards, but I got this new kind of money clip thing that I carry around.
Wow, that's quite a lot of cash.
It's very cool.
Oh, I see. It's mostly credit cards.
But look at that. Isn't that impressive? That's very thin. This holds all my credit cards and my cash. It's very thin. It's from Kenneth Cole. It was a little expensive, but it works. It works very well. But I had to get rid of a couple of my, or leave them at home. I had to stop carrying a couple of my credit cards. So I had to choose which ones to carry. And there's this one credit card that she gave me, and it had my name on it, but have no illusions. It's because of her. And it has like an absurd limit. Really?
My credit card with my dad's name on it as well.
And it has like a $900 million limit on it. And I'm like, I could buy a car. And she's like, yeah, it's my credit, but go ahead. But I usually leave that one at home. And so I go to pick up my truck yesterday from the impound lot, and the guy's like, and of course, the sons of bitches, look, maybe that's not the right way to put it.
Well, the police. Did you get your truck out? You can put it that way. If you have your truck back now, you may put
I'm
it that way.
I'm glad the cops found my car. Mm-hmm. But there is this not even very casual, not even well-hidden kickback deal where the cops get the car, and the cops don't store it themselves. The cops get the car, and then they store it at, in this place, blah, 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 towing. And it's a private towing place. The cops clearly have a deal with this place. I mean, I'm sure it's all in
paper. Every city has a scam.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I mean, I'm sure it's paperwork and whatever. But, I mean, the cops pick up your vehicle, and then it gets stored at this commercial towing place. But they charge you every day to hold it. They're charging me like $150 a day to store my stolen vehicle.
And what happens is, if you go to jail, you can't afford to get your car out, so you buy cars for a song.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a total scam. It's a total racket.
I've had cars here before.
I go to... Thank you.
I
go to...
That one,
from somebody like me. I go to pick it up, and the guy's like, all right, then, that'll be... How much do you think it cost me to get my car out of impound?
$200?
$340.
Ooh.
And it was going to be an additional, like, $60 a day. Anyway, and so I say, the guy's like, okay, so will that be credit card? I'm like, yes, credit card. And what in my, and here I am, Susan Reynolds from marketing. Susan Reynolds, our marketing guru, here at CBS Radio Portland. She was good enough to drop me off last night. So she drops me off and then vanishes into the horizon. It's 6:30 in Tannisbourne. There's no one around for hundreds of miles.
It's the same time zone as anywhere else.
I'm
it doesn't have its own time zone.
The guy's like, that'll be $340. I'm like, all right. So I take out my credit card, he runs it through, and then what do I hear that? Sir, it has been declined. Oh. And then, of course, what am I going to do? There's no one. I have no
one. You should have called me. I live in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I know, but then you just have to drive me all the way back to Portland for no reason. Thank God that I had another credit card, but it was the debit card, the one that yanks it right out of your account. Mm-hmm. So it just yanked $340 right out of my account. I can't float that. $340, which means I got like $1.90 to get me for the rest of the weekend.
That's doable.
As long as I only eat pizza for the rest of the weekend, I'll be fine.
There's that three bucks of macaroni and cheese for
totally.
$1.
Exactly. So I got nothing. And then I get into my truck. They've left it with no gas. Literally, it's on fumes. Mm-hmm. And I asked the guy at the towing company, I'm like, there's no gas left in this. And he's like, well, what are you going to do? You know, and I'm like, that's how we found it. They drive it and dump it. And I'm like, well,
here, fill up the tank. It's on us.
I'm like, no. And I'm like, I'm in Tannisporn. I don't know where the gas is. And he's like, well, it's probably down that way. I gotta close the gate now, sir. And I'm like, I don't know anybody here. My truck's on empty. So I'm driving. And did you ever drive your car and you can hear it sputtering? You can hear your car going, and they're trying to keep going.
A lot of times it's just bluffing.
And it's like way below empty and the gas light is on. And I'm driving around just like wandering in the desert like, oh, my kingdom for gas. And as I'm driving deeper and deeper into the Tannisborn suburbs, I don't know where I'm going. I have no sense of direction. The GPS is at home because I had no idea I was going to be going out there today. I am driving randomly in Tannisborn looking for a gas station. The needle is so far below empty, it can't go down any further. It's sitting. The needle is on that little peg. It's zeroed out. And I mean, I can hear the engine catching and sputtering. Every time I'm at a red light, I figure I'm never going to be able to go again. I'm accelerating real slowly, you know, because I know if I gun it, it's just going to drain it. And so what do I see over the horizon? Gas glowing like a beacon, an oasis. And I get there, and it's the Costco gas thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I pull in to the car, and I'm like, oh, thank God, I'm not going to have to walk the 100 miles back home. The guy's like, all right, thank you for coming by, sir. Costco card? And I said, why, what do you mean? Costco card, says Costco gas place. And I said, I don't have a Costco card. I don't belong to Costco. He said, well, I'm sorry, sir. Costco members only. You'll have to go now. But I don't have any cash. I have $1.90 in my checking account. I can't get home.
It's like Henry Fonda in the Grapes of Wrath.
That's totally what it is.
I want some ribs.
That's exactly what it
they
is.
They didn't hurt you in prison, did they, son?
And I'm there, and thank sweet Christ that Josh at Costco Gasoline, here's what happened.
Have mercy.
No, here's the thing. Mr. Potter, I was in line for gas. He turned me away, and this is what he did. I swear to God, this sounds like a movie, but it's totally true. I have no gas in my truck. I'm sputtering off knowing that they're going to find my bleached bones in the sun weeks from now. He literally, I see him in my rearview mirror going, Sir, and I'm like, I lean my head on the one, and he goes, you look really desperate, so I'll give you some gas. That was like the sweetest words.
But don't make a habit of it.
No, it was like he told me he'd found the cure for cancer. So Josh, I want to, Josh at Costco Gasoline out, Tannisborn way.
You just got him fired.
I hope your manager isn't listening. I paid though, because he let me put it on the declined credit card.
There is a Shell station about a block from there.
Yes. Okay, why are you going to ruin a good story by telling me that there was a gas station a block away?
Just in case you happen to be in the neighborhood again.
Thanks for breaking the dramatic arc. Thank you. Thank you for killing the narrative flow. Lisa Goddard apparently can only call it 12:25. It is now what, Sarah?
12:23.
We should just stay here. We'll break late. How do you feel about them apples? Hmm? Hmm? Huh?
Snakes on a plane. Let's tell more stories.
Lady.
Please, talk to us more about your car.
Let's stay up late and curl each other's hair and then make s'mores.
Check the dipstick and how is the oil situation? How about the tires and the transmission?
Okay, let's just go to the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's news on a thing.
It's time for the Rick Emerson New News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Wire.
And the irony of that all is, I just live two blocks away.
Okay.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley reporting. Well, some air travelers think the new security rules are going a bit too far. In addition, for a ban on liquids, gels, you know, is also banned? Gel inserts in bras. The Federal Transportation Safety Administration says
that's
gel
embarrassing.
Inserts.
Totally.
Pardon me, I'm going to have to take one of your cup sizes and your self-esteem away before I can get on the plane.
It says gel insert. Everyone in Hollywood is going to be embarrassed by this.
Is that like a water bra?
Yeah.
Like those little chicken cutlets?
Underneath.
Yeah. Well, that's embarrassing. Now, is that what it's actually built?
A lot of bras actually have that built in. Like
that's what I mean. It's built into the bra? So they would actually put you in a back room and you have to take your brassiere off.
They'll probably take it apart.
Well, now they want you to put them in your checked luggage and then put them on, I guess, when you get in the plane.
All right. It's always an indefinite article. Always a vibrator.
Jelly not, inserts on the plane?
Never your vibrator. I have to say this, though. One more thing on my truck. You know, they found the weirdest combination. Did I say this? The weirdest combination of items in the truck?
No, you haven't told us that.
Because the cop... Well, no, the cop called me and he's like, hey, we found your truck. And by the way, not that I'm telling anybody how to evade the man. Or avoid the law, but if you are, and not,
we are at a time of war.
Not that anybody in the audience would ever do this.
No,
but if you had something in your vehicle that was perhaps prohibited, or you did not want to be associated with, not that I would, you know, that anybody out there would know anything about that. The cops will call you, and this is what's happened both times my car's been sold. They say, sir, we found some da-da-da-da-da-da in your car. Is that, you know, whatever it is, and is this yours? And this is your chance to just go, no, that wasn't in there when I parked the car. Must be the thieves. Which is actually true, because here's what the cop said to me. He said, sir, we found a bunch of boxes of cigarettes, several handcuff keys, and a pint glass in your car. Which is totally not none of my. I mean, how would I? I mean, none of us smoke, and I, you know,
not
whatever.
Not even the handcuff keys?
Not even the handcuff keys.
Okay.
And I said, quite honestly, I said, I got nothing. I have no idea. And he's like, okay, well, we'll just take that and assume that it's, you know, belongs to the thieves. And we don't smoke, and there's cigarette ash all over the inside of my car. But how weird is this? And we'll get Lisa Goddard here in a second. How weird is this, though? You know what they left inside my car is dozens and dozens of empty cigarettes. I don't mean cigarette packs. I don't mean cigarette boxes. I don't mean cigarettes that have been smoked. I mean, imagine you took a cigarette right out of the pack. You take a Marlboro right out of the pack. Empty out all the tobacco, so it's just the filter and then the empty paper tube.
Maybe they used it for chew.
Maybe. I mean, it's not like, I mean, I guess the kids, they do that and then they fill it with something else to smoke, as the tow guy said.
The stuff in pixie sticks.
Yes. But I mean, but it wasn't even that. It was dozens and dozens and dozens of empty cigarettes littered throughout the truck. It was the weirdest thing.
Some of the children listening might know about that.
If you are a child who knows what to do with an empty cigarette, please now to be calling us. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program. From the Hill, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
Hey, I'm okay, Rick. How are you this Friday?
I'm doing very well. How is life on the Hill?
Incredibly quiet. In fact, even the mice apparently have gone somewhere else.
no vehicle thefts, nothing to you haven't had a truck stolen twice within 6 months.
Well, I'll tell you what, D.C. is under a crime emergency, but that's a whole other situation. Though I think since Congress left, apparently it has gotten safer.
Is there a crime emergency? Oh, this is just in general, though.
This is just in general. This is for all of our nation's capital is under a crime emergency after a number of high-profile murders in the last three or 4 months.
Well, it's a good thing you're getting that combat training then, so.
Yes, actually it is, probably. I did feel to some degree safer in Damascus.
All right, so I gotta plead ignorance on something, because I am in large measure an uninformed and ugly American. So this, and I'm reading this right off the CNN prep sheet, as I often do. A federal judge in Detroit ruled Thursday that the National Security Agency, also known as the NSA, cannot continue... That's the unnerving word there. Continue to monitor Americans' phone calls and emails without warrants, which is a setback for the Bush administration that was swiftly appealed. All right. Here's the problem is that there have been so many stories and so many headlines and appeals and arguments and press conferences and whatever over the last 18 months about the White House or the government listening to, sorting through, scanning through various forms of American communication that I have lost track now of what we're even talking about. What were they doing, and what did the court tell them to knock off?
Yeah, I think a lot of folks are with you. This has to do with listening to phone calls, that one end of the phone call is an American, someone in America, American phone, talking to someone in a foreign country. And the Bush administration says that foreign person in a foreign country is suspected to have a connection to terrorism, or specifically to Al-Qaeda, is what the Bush administration has said. And so you hear the president saying again and again, if Al-Qaeda is calling someone in the U.S., we want to know why. But the issue has been that there really is no outside organization, no judicial stop on these wiretaps other than the Justice Department itself. So really the executive, the White House, is the one policing this, and they really have said, we believe we have the power to wiretap anyone under this situation. And they've also said, basically, trust us. We're only looking at people who are talking to Al-Qaeda suspects. Of course, Not everyone trusts the government.
Well, again, and
that's where the problem is.
Yeah, and I mean, it does become very confusing when it's one guy's here and one guy's over at the one guy's over living underneath a rock somewhere right. in some other country. Because there's so many issues here, but it does seem,
right.
look, if you're talking to a guy that you think is suspected of terrorism, it does seem like there ought to be then some legal justification for the government to go and to get it taken care of and to get the, you know, to get the warrant, to get the whatever. It just seems like a bad idea for it to just be left to the sole discretion of some guy, carrying around a black bag, living in an underground bunker somewhere in Washington, D.C., taking orders from Karl Rove.
Yeah, you know, the Bush administration does say that they monitor this program closely, that they have their own, regulations, and that they're very careful, that the president approves it, I believe, every 45 days. He looks at it again. So they say this isn't haphazard, that they take this very seriously, and they're very careful. But at the same time, separate from that, you know, the U.S. government does have a procedure for this kind of thing, and you probably have heard this acronym a lot, FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and that is, there's a special secret court that is set up just to approve wiretaps for this kind of foreign intelligence activity, but the Bush administration is going around it. They say FISA just takes too long, and that the law is old, that it's not able to deal with modern technology.
I love any sort of governmental procedure that includes the words special secret court. That always fills me with a lot of confidence in my elected leaders.
Yeah, and well, it should. But
yeah.
Well, the thing is, though, despite this ruling yesterday, which came out of Detroit and said that this whole thing is unconstitutional because of its infringement on rights, that there was a stay issued on that order. So this wiretapping is still going on while the Bush administration appeals.
All right.
So we'll be talking about this plenty more.
And always remember that if she sinks, she's a witch. So there you go.
All right.
Lisa Goddard on the Hill, you have a good weekend. We will talk to you soon, Lisa.
Okay,
all right.
Bye.
Thank you so much. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. We come back. We've got Chris on the Snakes movie. Mike about something cleaning bus. And then someone about tubes. Okay. 503-733-2970. It's going to be one of those shows, is it? All right. Bring it on. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's the business. Stay there. We're always on the right side. All right. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up 1 o'clock, we'll talk to Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, who was there for Snakes on a Plane last night. Later on, 2 o'clock hour, Aaron Geek in the City, Duran will be here. And I believe at this point, there's probably a 1 in 3 chance that Clyde Lewis will be coming along with him. You can already smell the greatness in the air, can't you? Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
What's up, brother?
That movie was awesome.
It was awesome. It was so bad and just irredeemable on every level. But was that not the best experience of your life?
Oh, I knew it was going to be great, especially when the preview for Deja Vu came in.
Wait, where did you see it?
I saw it at Lloyd. So,
you and your fancy schmancy Lloyd previews.
Well, yeah, I have a friend there, so I can get in.
Oh, I see. So you're exploiting the inside relationship. All right.
I saw it at Lloyd with an entire theater full of teenagers, which made it even better.
It was a pretty young crowd for us last night. I mean, it was probably, I don't know, I would say the average age was mid to late 20s. Would you say, Sarah?
It was good.
It was great. I mean, it was sold out. I didn't see it by the time the movie started. See, we were talking about, well, there's going to be a line, we were going to be lined up outside, but what we did not know is that theater last night, Century 16 Eastport, they weren't showing anything at 7 o'clock. In other words, there was no earlier screening to let out, so there was no line, so they were just, which, to be frank, you always kind of want the line, because then there's that moment when they open the door, and you're like, woo! Opening the door, you know, didn't go in, but they had the theater just open all night long, so you could just there was no waiting. So when we got there, people were already inside, so we missed the cool waiting in line bonding experience. But by the time the movie rolled, by 5 till 10, it was packed. There was sold out, not a seat left, and it was. And I mean, just a series of escalating cheers. It reminded me of when I saw Phantom Menace.
Right.
The cheering and the lights went down. You know, cheering at the Lucasfilm logo, cheering at the 20th Century Fox logo, screaming at the A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away, losing your mind when you hear that, da-da, you know, and the Star Wars theme kicks in.
Right.
Screaming for the crawl at the beginning and everything. That's what it was last night. I mean, it was...
Oh, no, they had a preview for Deja Vu, another Samuel L. Jackson movie.
Now, what is Deja Vu?
I didn't really understand it because there was way too much yelling and screaming just because every time he showed up on the screen, everyone would yell and scream. I think some lady gets killed, but she comes back, and so he has to figure out how to solve it before she does die. I don't know.
Whatever.
The whole deja vu thing. But the greatest line is she's sitting there. She goes, I'm going to tell you something, and you're not going to believe me. Some kid in the front screams out, there are snakes on the MF Explained.
That's genius.
I knew right then that the movie was going to be awesome.
No, it was just one. Yeah, so the lights went down. It was the first time Sam Jackson appeared on the screen.
It wasn't even for the right movie, but people didn't care. It was Samuel L. Jackson.
And then there's that moment, and I know I'm spoiling things, but there are snakes on the plane.
Yes.
But there was that moment early on, where it's like a totally unrelated moment, when he's like, come with me and you live, you know,
right.
And everybody's like, woo, come with him and you live, you know, and just cheering at things that, like, so far away from being any sort of a money moment that it's like, you know, but it was great. If you can't see it with a crowd, wait until you can.
Yeah, it's just a movie where if you saw it and you were sitting in a quiet theater, it would be the most horrible experience of your life.
Yeah, I mean, if you were sitting and flipping around at 3 a.m. and it was like either that or just hitting yourself in the face with a coat hanger, you would choose the coat hanger. But in the right crowd with the right, perhaps a mix of alcohols or whatever beforehand, that's the greatest moment of your life.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right, there you go.
It's the Woodstock of this generation.
It really is. No, you know what everybody was saying last night, which I don't think is true, but the phrase everybody said last night, and Tim actually said this morning, having not even seen it yet, Tim's like, is it Rocky Horror for a new generation? And I don't believe it's quite at that level, but it is. It did have that feeling last night.
Mm-hmm. There'll definitely be a drinking game for it.
Totally, especially when some of us had stockpiled little rubber snakes, and they were like, at climactic scary moments, we would throw them at people in the crowd and hit them in the face. Which, there's nothing quite as satisfying as throwing a rubber snake right at there's some tense moment, and then it hits somebody in the face, and they screech. That's a good feeling right there.
Putting an eye out, you bet.
Why must you be a hater, Tim Riley? All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Because it's my job, that's why.
Excellent.
We just found out there's police activity closing down the streets near the Grotto in Northeast Portland. Skidmore shut down from Sandy Boulevard for about 6 blocks due to a crazed gunman running around. Meanwhile,
you can't just say there's a crazed gunman running around and then just move on. And then just literally, here's Tim Riley. You're all going to die and the police are everywhere because there's a crazed gunman. Meanwhile,
into the garbage.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, seriously.
Well, I try to keep my work area tidy.
and then the story just goes into the trash, and you're on to something about Britney Spears eating chocolate. I mean,
well, actually, no. We were going to talk about this judge who got 4 years.
Oh, I'm sorry. Talk about the fondler.
Well, we could do that, or the vomiting man closing down the ER, or the Wisconsin man trapped in a vat of chocolate. It's your choice, really.
Sarah?
Ooh, I'll go for the chocolate.
It's lady's choice today. Let's go for the chocolate.
Chocolate for the lady. Dateline Kenosha, Wisconsin. A 21-year-old man was trapped in a tank of chocolate for about 2 hours.
The wood chipper guy was in Kenosha.
Yeah. All kinds of weird things happen here.
Kenosha, Wisconsin's owned Weezer.
That's where my mom was born.
Kenosha?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong in Kenosha? All right.
Captain Randy Bernier said the worker got into the tank at the DeBellis Chocolate Corporation to unplug it and became trapped waist-deep in the chocolate. It was pretty thick, virtually quicksand. And his co-workers, police and firefighters, are not able to get him out of the chocolate until they thinned it out. So this is real good chocolate, apparently. It's the first time I've ever heard of anything like this, said the policeman. The worker said his ankles were sore from the chocolate and had to be taken to the hospital to be treated for minor chocolate injuries.
His ankles were sore from the chocolate. Did your mom ever sing that I Yelled Fire When I Fell Into the Chocolate song?
I don't believe so, no. My mother used to sing Tony Bennett songs.
Really?
Yes.
My mom sang these songs that just... My mom sang the weirdest songs to me growing up. Songs that, like... They came off some secret private old person record collection that you've never heard, songs that you never heard on the radio, but that she clearly had sung to her at some point. Mm-hmm. This is John calling about hello, John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, how you doing?
What's up?
I've got info on why they unroll the cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, when they found my stolen truck, it was full of empty cigarettes. In other words, cigarettes that had the tobacco removed from them.
Right. Well, I know in jail they unroll them so that they can roll up three with toilet paper.
Oh, so they can spread it out and make three cigarettes out of one?
Yes, yes. So if they'd stolen them, then they'd have more cigarettes.
I don't understand the point of that, though. I mean, it doesn't... If you're, if you have a cigarette and you take all the tobacco out and you make it into three small cigarettes,
yeah,
maybe the criminal mind isn't as sophisticated as perhaps ours, but don't those three small cigarettes smoke much faster? In other words, isn't it a wash?
I have no idea.
Not having been to jail?
No, never.
How do you know this information?
I had a friend who went to jail, and he would go on work cruise, and his friends would hide smokes in bathrooms. When he was on the work crew,
uh-huh,
and he would...
He'd duck in?
He'd date those, and he would roll three cigarettes out of one and then sell them.
That makes sense. If your goal is... Okay, that makes total sense. If your goal is to not smoke them yourself,
right,
that is, in other words, it's like your friend gives you a quarter and you sell an eighth.
Yeah, I think it kept him from being somebody's bitch.
Well, you can't put a price on that, John.
No, you cannot.
Thank you, sir.
All right, have a good day.
You as well. Every day that we're not somebody's bitch is a good day, sir. Okay, here's Tim Riley.
Several emergency room employees in Marion County, Florida.
Oh, you damn woman. No.
Okay, it defeats the purpose if you do it after me.
Shut your hole.
You lost.
Just be quiet.
Well, anyway, these folks were sick, and when a patient was brought in, vomiting an unknown substance. Hazmat teams were called into the West Marion Hospital after several workers began to feel ill after they were exposed to the vomiting person. The situation was so alarming that officials briefly considered evacuating the emergency room and leaving the vomiting person behind. Healthcare workers and patients were moved out of the area.
That's the Hippocratic Oath at its finest.
For duty and humanity.
I had some vomiting. Just leave him here. It'll sort itself out.
Healthcare work. It reminds me of that Office episode when they had the fire drill and they left the woman in the wheelchair in the stairway.
Yeah,
we'll
totally
be back for you.
Now so it's a normal night at the ER.
Yes, it is.
Guy
as far as you know, for a Florida ER.
A guy. It's all relative. A guy stumbles into the ER
vomiting
quote an unknown substance, and then people who came into contact with the vomit
began to feel ill.
It was like a lard ass at the blueberry pie eating contest kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a chain puking thing going on. And so then they were just going to cut and run and leave him behind?
And some of the healthcare workers and patients were moved out of the area and were decontaminated. So apparently they have vomit decontamination chambers there.
You can't really dust for vomit.
No.
And that's all we know. You know what this reminds me of?
Watch local 6 News for more on the story, but we don't get it here on cable, which is kind of too bad.
Do you ever, do you remember that story that came out about 8 or 9 years ago? And it was a big story kind of in the talk radio world. It was the sort of thing that we kind of latch onto, like a dog with a bone. And it was a story about a guy who was on an emergency room or on an operating room table. They cut him open and his body, you know, for a routine surgery for whatever, but his body was emitting some kind of gas that knocked people out. Do you remember the story, Tim?
Barely.
It was a story about a guy. He was on a table. They cut him open to do whatever, to give him like an appendectomy or something.
I do remember the alien autopsy.
I think we're talking about two different things.
Okay.
This man was not made out of rubber, nor was William Frakes in the room, Jonathan Frakes in the room narrating. But they cut him open, and his body, it was some bizarre thing where his body contained this rare chemical that put out a gas. And the people in the ER either felt sick or passed out because he was like a typhoid Mary, but it was like a gas that came out of his stomach when they cut him open. It was the weirdest thing. Mm-hmm. And the story was all over the news for like a month, and then it vanished. Not unlike a screwdriver, Vaseline, Al-Qaeda, I'm going to kill you woman. We were talking about that yesterday. You know, here's the frustrating thing about that story, by the way, if we can duck over to another rail for a moment.
Sure.
This story that we talked about yesterday and the day before about this woman who's on an airplane running up and down the aisle, screwdriver, Vaseline, note from Al-Qaeda, I'm going to kill you, you're all going to die. And then the next day, she has no screwdriver, she has no Vaseline, there's no note from Al-Qaeda, it turns out she's just whizzing on the floor.
She's not from the Middle East, she's from Vermont.
She's not a Muslim, she's just a scared white woman urinating, right? And yet no one ever talks about it. Like no one, we are the only people talking about not the fact that she was urinating on the floor. That's all over the news. Mm-hmm. No one has just said, stop. Everybody quiet. Wait a minute. Why was it reported that she had a screwdriver and Vaseline?
And no small kite.
Like, don't you just want... At some point, I want a teacher to stand up at the front of the journalistic classroom and order silence and point at the blackboard for a minute and say, what is going on? How is it that 3 days ago she had Vaseline and a screwdriver? And if it sounds like I'm fixating on this, it's because it's not like it's two stories that you sort of got, like, details that were a little fuzzy. It's two entirely different, like, the two stories couldn't be more different. A woman just whizzing in an airline aisle, who is a white woman from Vermont.
Which is unusual. I've flown many times, and nobody has ever done that.
No. Well, but I mean, if you're flying with Manchester United, you probably see it now and again. Mm-hmm. That is a world away from a woman, from a Middle Eastern woman carrying Al-Qaeda notes and a screwdriver and Vaseline. And no one has ever explained how one story became the other. It's so goddamn frustrating to me.
I'll tell you why. It's because one person starts it and everyone else follows like sheep without even investigating. That's how this happens.
Let's play Battle of the Sexes. Mm-hmm. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's play High-Low.
High-Low.
Too high-low.
Bruce Agler in the house, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
No, Bruce didn't start that.
No, but Bruce didn't. That was always his go-to thing. I'm like, you should. At least you're not playing high-low on the air. Well, I mean, really know that you're.
Meanwhile, the man who confessed to killing JonBenet Ramsey has apparently kept silent long enough. After being arrested in Thailand, John Carr confessed to killing the young beauty queen and then talked about the case with a reporter who was being transported in an elevator yesterday.
What happened in the basement?
It would take several hours to describe that.
If you could be brief.
I can't. I wouldn't want to say something briefly about it because it would
I am
not,
making this whole story up.
It was very painful for me to talk about. The only thing that I can say is it's not what it seems to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a fake.
Please have Shyamalan Schuster call me so I can talk about this at length.
Yes.
So what happens to someone who confesses to a crime that they didn't do?
Well, they get a book deal, they get movie deals,
well,
they get on the Larry King show.
Unless you're this guy who is already a convicted child pornographer, mm-hmm. I believe in which case you get less than that. I believe you get the cops giving you a stern talking to, and I think it's a felony, actually.
Carr said he loved JonBenet but didn't mean to kill her.
I've contacted the Ramsey family, especially before Patricia passed away, and I conveyed to her that I am so very sorry for what happened to JonBenet, and it's very important that everyone knows that I love her very much, and that her death was unintentional, and it was an
accident. Well, you know, as crazy as Clyde usually is, he really nailed a couple things yesterday, which is that the guy claims he drugged her, no drugs in the body, claimed he got her on the way home from school, was out. I mean, it is all very, it does sort of scream attention whore, and I'm nutty.
He is remembered in his hometown of Hamilton, Alabama, as a smart kid who played in the band and matured into something of a local curiosity. You couldn't help but like John. He always had something going on.
Yes, clearly.
In 1984, when Carr was 19, he married a local girl who was 13 at the time.
Oh.
He filed for... Oh, the woman...
Where was this?
This is in Alabama. Like, we should be surprised.
Sir. Why did I even have to ask again?
She was 13 at the time, and the woman filed for an annulment the following year, complaining she was fearful of her life and safety. In a response filed with a court, Carr contended Schott's age, saying she was, in fact, 14.
Oh, I'm sorry. That makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
He married another young woman. Oh, in 1989, Carr remarried, this time to a woman named Laura.
And then continued his late-night radio show from the Philippines.
She was 16 at the time. Then he started to teach. Then he sold used cars. Then he took classes in Alabama, received a Bachelor of Science degree, moved his family to California in 2001. He found work as a substitute teacher where Polly Kleiss.
Right, and then he got fired. Mm-hmm. I heard that the place in Bangkok fired him, though, that he is, in fact, no longer working there.
Well, let's ask our go-to man, Mark Furman, what he thinks about this case.
Let's roll back the hands of time.
I don't see much credibility at all. There was no drugs used to incapacitate JonBenet. There was a clean toxicology. The cause of death was not accidental. In fact, it was quite intentional.
Are we witnessing the rehabilitation of Mark Furman?
Yes.
Is that what this is right here?
Yes.
All right. Mark Furman, by the way, I probably shouldn't say that part, but Mark Furman, who We, I'm unclear about what I can say and what I can't hear. Well, I'll just say.
He's a retired Los Angeles detective.
I'll just say that I know somebody who spent some time in Spokane recently, and they told Mark Furman apparently does a talk radio program on a station that,
Zany Morning Show?
No.
Mark and Muffy?
It's hard to imagine Mark Furman during a Zany Morning Show. Where? He's planted prizes all over town.
Are you listening at 7:17?
Yeah.
Mark Furman's scavenger hunt.
No. I was just going to say that he does it, and if you've ever spent any time in Spokane, you know this is completely and totally perfect. He does an issues-based call-in radio, a talk show program, a conservative-based, he does an angry white male show, exactly as you would suspect. He does on some conservative station in Spokane, and it's not like a syndicated thing. Not like a needle mover, as they sometimes call it, where there's like 4 hours somewhere and there's just nothing else until you gotta find something, and so you get Ed Hume on the Garden Line, or whatever. You get some hideous, can we get Barry Farber? You know, just some awful program. You hear these programs that are on sometimes late at night on various stations, and look, and we've all worked at stations who have these programs. Mm-hmm. And you hear them, and I'm not trying to single us out or anybody else at every radio station. Every station, every format, they all at one time or another, they put on a program that no one really cares about, that no one listens to, that no one has any interest in at all. And its sole purpose is just to be what they call a needle mover. It's just to keep something going. It's like a shark. Radio stations are like sharks. They can't stop or they die. You always have to be doing something. And so they'll put on these programs.
Or if you have a lot of downtime, you sell an hour to somebody. Well, we don't do that here, but there have been other places where that has occurred.
Who would you sell an hour to, Tim Riley?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure there's somebody out there who's destined for stardom.
Thinking of anyone in particular?
No, I'm not thinking of anyone at all.
Use the stickers in a creative way?
No, not me. I'm not the program director here, so I shouldn't be asked. Why am I put in this position? It's not my decision to make.
Why indeed, Tim Riley?
I don't know.
You're sure that no one comes to mind?
No, my position here, as it says, is news director. Now, I know we don't have any openings in the news department, and probably never will, but there are other people here.
You can't think of anybody.
No.
Who we might be able to sell an hour to.
No.
You're sure?
I am positive.
I'll give you some time to think about it.
I'm sure there are people who are standing by to knock on my door and letting me know that they're available.
Sarah and I will wait a minute while you think about it. What you think about that.
I can't think of anyone, no.
Really, because usually you're so willing to bring it up.
No.
Usually you're full of ideas about people who might want small radio programs.
No, I can't think of anyone at the time, no. Check with me Monday.
Okay, but my point is that the Mark Furman program is not just like some syndicated crap they got off a satellite to keep the station on the air. He comes into the studio. They hired him. Imagine Mark Furman. And Mark Furman coming in, sitting across, I'd like to do a radio program. And the guy going, that's a fantastic idea. We'll
team you up with Kato Kaelin. He's not doing
serious. David Duke would also like to host a radio program. How about a Mark and Duke kind of a thing? And then he comes in and sits down and, hello, it's the Mark Furman Show. Please now to be calling me. And amazingly doesn't talk about the O.J. Simpson case, which is strange. You got to wonder what else that guy could possibly have to talk about.
That's true.
I guess in this case, it's JonBenet Ramsey.
He says some of the evidence just doesn't add up.
There was no sexual penetration. There was no seminal fluid that was left on the body. There was, there was a clean talk screen.
That's enough.
He's got an eerie voice. He should be on at night doing a trick.
He sounds like L. Ron Hubbard, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, what's going on in their hometown of Boulder, Colorado? The mayor there describes what the people of the city are feeling right now.
I think we're going through a lot of emotions right now. Like most of the country, we're trying to understand exactly what's happening, the case, and Mr. Carr's involvement, trying to get a sense of whether he really is the person who killed JonBenet Ramsey.
We just wish this whole thing would go away. We wish the Ramseys had never lived here.
Mark and Mindy would come back and
stand on the goalposts at Boulder Stadium again.
Yes.
We wish that their freak family had stayed in Alabama their entire lives. All right. Should we break here?
I think we could do one more.
All right. And then we got a break, and then we got Scott Daly. Mm-hmm. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Well, a former judge convicted.
You're sure you can't think of anybody?
No.
Now, I'm saying there's many hours in the weekend, and there's thousands and thousands of people listening. You can't think of a single person that might be willing to come in and do a show.
No, perhaps they could drop off their tape for you so you could listen to it, if there was such a person.
It'd be best if you drop it off on a Friday at like 4:55.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you don't put your name on it. If you drop off an air check, make absolutely sure that in no way, if I listen to it, can I figure out who you are, how to contact you. Make absolutely certain there are no identifying traits. There's no contact info of any kind on whatever air check you drop off.
And make sure it's a long one. And make sure what you want us to hear is away at the end.
Make sure that all the content is buried in hiss. Make sure that it's recorded on a $1.50 cassette deck from Radio Shack. And then it was like a 50th generation copy by the time you burned it for me. Make sure of all these things. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a former judge convicted of exposing himself while presiding over jury trials by using a pleasuring device under his robe was sentenced to 4 years in prison without this device. Donald Thompson spent almost 23 years on the bench and had served as a state legislator before retiring from politics to become a judge. He showed no reaction when he was sentenced.
Okay, Sarah...
Is this the guy with the penis pump?
Yes. Let's try to use that phrase as often as possible. Here's what just happened. As Tim said, a judge who was convicted of using a pleasuring device. And then Sarah looks over at me and pantomimes a woman shaking an aerosol can of Lysol before using it in the kitchen. Okay. And mouths the words, is that the guy using the... Well, again, shaking an imaginary can of aerosol.
Penis pump.
Well, I don't want to say it because there were children listening.
For the children, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
We do have For the Children coming up later on. Also,
Scotty J's making a sound or two.
Really? Fantastic. Excellent. Aaron Geek in the City is coming up as well. We got Clyde Lewis going to be here. Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio. We're talking about snakes on a plane. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. No!